Yes, indeed. Good morning. I am joined this morning from the University of Minnesota. Mary Meyer is back with us. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny. Oh, my gosh. Is it really Labor Day weekend? Wow.
Yes, it is. And a beautiful one weather-wise. Wow.
Super for gardening.
Yes, absolutely. And going to the state fair, too, for a lot of folks. Perfect
oh,
weather,
yes.
Especially after today. Now, we're getting already, as of early this morning, and you're no stranger to a busy smart garden hour, I know. But we had, I think, especially early, we started getting text messages probably in the 5, 6 o'clock hour for our show today.
Early gardeners.
And, yes. Well, I think gardeners probably, not to make it a stereotype, but they probably are early risers, right?
As a yes, yeah. Yeah. Work when it's cool.
That's right. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'll try to grab as many as we can today, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. And before we get too far away, someone stopped me as I was heading back from the state fair last week. Let's see if I can remember all of this now. They said to ask you when we start the show about a hibiscus tree. Now, it's not a shrub. It's a tree. They said about, as I recall, around 7 feet at its highest. I have heard, they said, she said, that not to trim it yet, not to prune it until late winter, early spring. What happens if I do it now is basically her question.
Well, I'm guessing this is the hibiscus that people grow in containers and bring in the wintertime.
No, this was in the yard. This is
It's in her. It's in her yard. Oh, okay. Then if it's in her yard, there are a few of those. They're not as common for Minnesotans to have those. If it's in her yard, if she prunes it now, she's probably going to just cut off the flower buds. So the best thing is to prune it after it flowers. So okay. I would be hesitant to prune it at this time. But if she is okay with sacrificing the flowers, she could do it now.
Oh, okay. Very good. Now, if I can find her to give her that answer. I hope she's
maybe
listening.
Maybe she's listening.
I hope so. Yeah. I think she is. Good morning. This texture says a couple of questions. First one is, my neighbor wants to start a garden, and I was going to help him if it's okay if we do a raised bed on top of the lawn and just put soil and compost in there. Will that grass eventually decompose? That's one question. Maybe you can answer that.
Yes, it will. You can definitely do that. And if you have issues with what type of soil you have or difficulty, the raised beds, yes, that's a great way to go. And eventually the grass will decompose. Yes.
Let's see, another question. Is it too late to fertilize my tomatoes and peppers one more time this season? I usually do it every 2 weeks.
Well, it depends on the condition of your peppers and tomatoes. My peppers are going strong, looking good. So, yes, you could fertilize those. But my tomatoes, on the other hand, are about done. As long as there's new green growth and they're still actively growing, you can continue to fertilize. But my tomatoes have almost all of the tomatoes I have picked already. And the foliage this year was a great year for tomato diseases. So my tomatoes are declining. So fertilizer is not going to bring them back. But if they're in good shape, go ahead and fertilize.
Speaking of tomatoes, Mary, I was looking out collecting some of my Sweet 100s, and some are really good, but some, again, I've seen this year after year, these little tomatoes have cracks in them, splits.
Yes.
What's that?
Well, a lot of times that is very quick growing, and especially if we have a lot of moisture. Oh. So these days when we've had excessive rainfalls, that tendency to grow quickly with the small tomatoes and crack is common with a lot of water. There are certain varieties that don't crack. Just trying different ones. I have the yellow one, Sun Sweet, that doesn't crack as much. And there's another one that is really sweet. I'm trying to remember the name of it. They tend to have a tougher skin. So some people don't like that little tougher skin, but the skin then usually doesn't crack. But excessive water usually
very good
culprit.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones, Mary. Carol is first up. You're calling from Minnetonka, I believe. Good morning, Carol. What is your question for Mary?
Well, I have such a strange occurrence, and I know it's been such a weird year weather-wise for plants, being so much rain in the beginning, but I have lilacs blooming. And I'm not sure if why, except last fall in October, I had the hedge that's about 30 years old, professionally one-third cleaned out and whatnot. But I had a few blooms this spring, but most of the summer after the rains and then the sun came out, it burned a lot of the leaves off. And so the growth that I have right now is at the top of these that are, you know, at least probably 8-9 feet tall. And they're little reams, but it's across the top under the eaves of the house and then slightly out from that. Where there isn't anything covering it. But it's a first for me.
Yes, Carol. So we've seen this re-blooming with some of our spring flowering shrubs. It's really related to environmental conditions and how much energy the plant has, and then some environmental cues that will just trigger the bloom. So our spring blooming lilacs, they set their buds in July. And normally those buds just sit there, the flower buds, and then after a cold treatment, the winter time, then they flower. And normally those buds just sit there, the flower buds, and then after a cold treatment, the winter time, then they flower in this following spring. But sometimes those July buds will just bang, go ahead and bloom like you're seeing right now. So the flower bud on that particular stem, it, when it has bloomed in the fall, that's it. It's not, that stem is not going to bloom again next spring. But usually it's just part of the shrub. So the rest of the shrub, you'll see some flowers again next spring. If anything, it indicates the plant is growing well. But we have seen a lot of stress with lilacs the past couple of years, as you say, with the weird weather, but the erratic weather with really dry, really wet conditions. So I think your plant will still be fine.
Yeah, Mary, today is no exception. Over the last few shows, a lot of comments about lilacs and those that very
yes.
thing. I want to alert Ron in St. Paul. You'll be next after the break on the phone, and we have more text messages. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. You can either call it in or text it in, whichever is easier. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we move to 64 degrees. We're going to hit a high today if you're heading to the fair near 85. Tomorrow and Monday, really comfortable with the fair. High tomorrow, 73. The high in the Twin Cities, Monday, Labor Day, 74. Again, right now, 64 on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M. Mary, a couple of questions about the state fair, but we promised Ron in St. Paul he'd be first up here after the break. Ron, thanks for waiting. Ron, what is your question, please?
You bet. Thanks. What would be the latest that I could plant a evergreen shrub on the west side of a house? What would be the latest this season?
Well, if it's a container plant, you have a little bit more leeway because there's a stronger root system, usually in a container system. But we like to have a month for the plant to grow and establish before really cold weather sets in. So we kind of back up from that. So through September and maybe through mid-October. So I would say the latest would be about September 15th. So maybe a little later if we have a really warm fall, but between now and September 15th, I would try. The sooner the better, but try to get it done before mid-September.
Well, here we are, Mary, last 3 days of the state fair. A couple of questions about the fair and what's going on there. One is the Hort Society is out there. What kind of work do they do there?
Yeah, so the Horticulture Society, oh my gosh, Denny, here we are talking about WCCO's anniversary of 100 years. The Horticulture Society is 158 years old. Woo! Wow. So Minnesota has one of the earliest horticulture societies. This, of course, was these early apple breeders that helped start the state fair. So yeah, so the Horticulture Society has been around for a long time. They did a great job landscaping around the horticulture building at the fair, and they have one wing in the fair. Many people know the Horticulture Society for Northern Gardener magazine, great magazine about growing plants in cold climates. And the other work the Hort Society does today is community gardens. You know, we had that call about the raised bed.
Yes.
Well, yeah, the Hort Society helps communities with raised beds, and they have almost 1,000 garden in a box, which are raised bed kits that they give out to community gardens every year. So they are a great source of education, the magazine, community gardens, and get some landscaping tips walking around the Horticulture Ag building at the fair. Check out the Horticulture Society if you're out at the fair in the next 2 or 3 days.
Oh, excellent. 158?
158 years old.
Goodness.
The first apple breeders said, you know, the East Coast said, you can't grow apples in Minnesota. And yes, we can. We can, certainly can.
I guess. All right, let's take another phone call. There's another Mary out there calling from Lake Elmo this morning. Hi, Mary. What is your question for Mary?
Oh, great. Thank you. We have a Japanese lilac at our cabin in northern Minnesota there, and we've neglected to really pay any attention to it, and now it's huge. And a lot of the taller branches are really thick. And so how do we approach, you know, trimming it down, and when is the best time?
So the best time to prune the lilacs are right after they flower in the springtime. And you can take out some, if you're talking about it being very thick, you can take out some stems down at the base of the plant at ground level, and then other stems you could prune back the top of it. So if you just take off the top of it, that's going to make it thicker than ever from where you made those cuts. But if you take off some at the bottom, some at the top as well, that's a good way to do it. But the best timing is just after it flowers.
Mary, a texter says this morning, a crabapple tree has lost most of its leaves. What to do about it?
This is probably due to apple scab, which is a common disease of apple, regular apples, and also crab apples. So it's not fatal. I've never seen a tree totally die from apple scab, but in wet years like we've had this year, apple scab is very bad. So cleaning up the foliage under the tree, getting that out of there and away from the tree is helpful. If this bothers you and you don't like the looks of it, you can plant a different crab apple. So there are disease resistant ones, many crab apples that do not get apple scab, and we have a list of those on the extension website. You can easily find that, but this would be buying something like Donald Wyman is the name of a crab apple, or Adirondack. Different shapes, different tree shapes, and different flower colors, but there are resistant ones.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We always like to mention the extension website. It's just a huge amount of information, great reading, extension.umn.edu. If you haven't checked it out, please do so. You'll be returning to that site quite
right.
often. A lawn question this morning, Mary. When should I put on my last application of fertilizer for the winter? They live in Anoka County.
We have a great lawn care calendar up on the extension website, Denny, that you just talked about. But I think about fertilizing the lawn now is a good time. Labor Day is one of the prime times you can fertilize your lawn. We know that fall fertilization that's our number one time to fertilize. So through the month of September, maybe early October, that's good timing. I would say now within the next month is a good time to do it.
You're mentioning what's at the state fair, and the listener wants to know, is there an extension booth at the fair?
Oh, yeah. Well, the master gardeners are out there in force. And there again, they're in the Horticulture Ag building. And there are several master gardeners that can answer any gardening questions that you have. There's also several other aspects of extension that are in the Ag and the Hort building as well. So the extension part of it, I think, is between 4-H and the Ag Hort building is there. But then there's also another U of M building where you can find lots of other things and the research folks as well.
Very good. Mary, hang on. We're going to be taking a break and having a look at that forecast. It looks mighty fine, especially if you're heading to the State Fair. We'll get to that in a moment or two. And then we'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden Show. So stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here in the 8 o'clock hour every Saturday. Thanks to folks like Mary Meyer from the U of M. Mary is with us this morning answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Mary, lots of calls, lots of text messages. And I wanted to ask you, too, we talk about Apple. Is the Apple House is open, isn't it?
It's open, yes. Bravo. You can go to the Arboretum's Apple House on the west side of town. It's open from 9 to 6 every day. And guess what? The early apples are in. Zestar, First Kiss, Sweet Tango, Paula Red. So there's lots of apples to choose from. A great thing. Boy, fresh apples taste so good, don't they?
I love those Sweet Tango. I'm going to go out there this weekend.
Well,
let's grab a phone call or two here, if we might. Linda is the first up, calling from St. Louis Park. Thanks for waiting, Linda. What is your question?
Well, I lost my old pussy willow tree during the storms. I cut off branches, and they're sprouting. I'd like to pot them up, carry them over winter until I can decide and have the time to try and replant them. Because they lose their leaves and go dormant in the winter, I don't know what to do with the potted sprouts over the winter.
So if this was me, Linda, I would actually plant them in the ground now, even though you might transplant them next year. I think they will just do better in the ground outside than they would in a pot, unless you've got the ideal conditions. And, you know, the temperature where you would have to keep them would be cold, but not sub-zero. So that kind of is a challenge. And pussy willows are, like you have been able to root them easily. They root fairly easily. And my issue with pussy willows have been the deer or rabbits eating them off when they're actually small. So you might want to put some protection around them, like chicken wire or something, when you plant them. But I think if at all possible, I would plant them outside now.
Very good. Mary, a listener wants to know, about 2 years ago, they had a basswood tree removed. The stump was ground out at least 6 to 8 inches, maybe more. The area receives full sun. Would I be able to successfully plant native grasses and or flowers there?
Yes, right. Yeah, you should be able to. The basswood tree, some of the roots are down there still in the soil. They will decompose naturally, but that should not be any problem for growing perennials and some of our native grasses there. That should be fine.
Good. Great. Back to the phones. John calling from Baldwin, Wisconsin this morning, I believe. Thank you, John. What is your question, John?
Yes, I've got a black walnut tree that's got a fair amount of nuts on it, and I'm thinking about planting them in the ground to, you know, grow up more trees. Is there any particular way I should do it to take care of it?
Not especially. You just want to mark the area. You know, the squirrels love black walnuts, so if anything, they will dig them up. They will find them. But I would just say to mark the area so you know, and plant more than what you think you'll need, because not all the seeds will have viability. They won't, you know, won't germinate on their own, and the squirrels could dig them up. So you, if you do have a lot of squirrels, you might put a protective covering over the ground, like chicken wire or something that will the squirrels won't be able to dig into. But black walnuts need the cold treatment, the winter that will come naturally, and then yes, many of them germinate on their own, but that should work well. Yep.
We'll get back to the text screen, but let's grab one more call. Liz is calling this morning from Minneapolis this morning. Hi, Liz. What's your question?
Hi. Good morning. I have another lilac tree question, Bush. It's mine is 25 years old, and this year the leaves are curling up and turning black, and the seed pods are turning black, and it's throughout the whole tree. Is this from the rain or what?
Yes, I think, Liz, it is the weather conditions that have been so extreme. We have seen more diseases on lilacs the past few years than I have most of my life before, prior to this. And we usually think of lilacs as being so tough. Many times they can survive these. They are not fatal, but they can certainly weaken the tree. The best thing you could do is clean up around the area, remove any of the foliage that is dropped, any of the black diseased foliage. If you have any half-dead or dead branches, you can do some pruning to take out whatever is dead on the tree. But major pruning should be done after flowering in early in the springtime. But just good sanitation. If the plants are really thick and crowded, sometimes thinning them out and improving the air circulation will help as well. But hopefully the weather conditions will more favor lilacs in the future.
One more question about lilacs. I'm looking at the text messages. Can you move them? And if so, when is the best time?
Yeah, the springtime is really the best time. But if, you know, lilacs are really quite tough. If you can get quite a bit of the root system, if they're not a huge plant, which many times they are huge plants, it's really hard to move a big plant. You can do it right now. We have another 6-8 weeks of root growth for plants, so you could try moving it now. But the springtime is a better guarantee of success because it has all summer to grow those new roots.
Okay. When can you transplant raspberry new and older shoots?
There again, that's better done in the springtime. You could try it in the fall. Some of those shoots with raspberries, they're small. So if you can get a good root system, keep them well watered, they can be successfully done right now. But the spring is a better risk.
Very good. A lot of text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help out. Another text says, good morning. I want to remove the orange daylilies from my yard. Will digging them up do the job? And if possible, I prefer to avoid using chemicals.
Yeah, digging them up is really a good start. You could get, I would say, you might get 80, 90% of them just by digging them up. But and then you'll see a few will remain, but then you can dig them up as well. But that, yeah, digging them, I think, is better. If you want to remove them, digging them, sometimes cutting them off, just using a lawnmower or whatever to keep repeatedly cutting them off, that will certainly weaken them. But digging them is a quicker way.
Okay. Lawn question, is there a reason why crabgrass growth this summer has spread in most areas? What may have caused this?
Oh, the great rains that we have had has allowed the crabgrass seed to germinate. And then, well, if it didn't germinate the first week or so, it could germinate later again and again. So just the great moisture conditions we've had has helped crabgrass. But, you know, it's helped our lawns as well. So most people could have turned off their irrigation totally this year and had free irrigation this summer for lawns.
Well, I thought about that, too. Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't know if glyphosate is no longer sold, but a texter says, now that glyphosate is no longer sold, what's a good alternative? Is that true? Is that no longer on the market? I didn't know.
I think it's still on the market. There are a lot of there are a lot of areas, well, that are not selling it, and you read more and more negative recommendations about it. I still use glyphosate for certain things. I use it to kill poison ivy and Canada thistle. Those are two really problematic plants that I would just as soon not have at all. But I think you can still buy glyphosate. This is Roundup, which kills everything that it touches. Right.
Well, very good. Would it benefit, Texter says, to fertilize now to help my perennials through the winter? I have phlox, potentilla, and hydrangeas.
You know, not necessarily. I would say that really, if you're worried about do your plants need fertilizer, I would get a soil test and determine that. Because, you know, we have a lot of soils in Minnesota that are high in phosphorus. Potassium is maybe. Usually what they're missing is nitrogen. And with all the rain, we have had a nitrogen deficiency with a lot of our plants this year. But I would do a soil test before I would indiscriminately put on fertilizer.
You know, we haven't talked about that for a while. I've been thinking about doing it here. What's the process of getting my soil tested?
Yes, that soil test can be done at the U. We have a great website telling you how to collect your soil, and then you send it into the U, or you can take it over to the University of the St. Paul campus. I think it's just around $20 to get the soil test. And in the spring, there's usually a wait, but this time of year, there's really no waiting, to get your soil tested. So yeah, it's a great thing to do. You can determine the soil test will tell you the pH of the soil, how alkaline or sweet or sour. Sometimes people say that the pH will make nutrients available. You can also get the organic matter percentage in your soil, and then the main nutrients, you can see those levels. So it's a great idea if you haven't done that.
Yeah, a lot of good information. Hang on, Mary, if you would please. We'll take this quick break. Be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Stay with us. Newstalk 830 WCCO. Our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour on CCO Radio. Danny Longley here with Mary Meyer from the U of M. You know, Mary, we were talking about not only the fair, but the Apple House. What a great time of year to get to the Arboretum.
Oh, yes, Denny. It certainly is. You know, the annual garden at the Arboretum is so beautiful now with all those big, bright colors where the tulips are in the springtime. The annuals are just super with big sunflowers, cannas, yellow, orange. It's always a beautiful spot. And this time of year, I see a lot of people with the seniors getting their pictures taken out there. Lots of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, use the Arboretum with all the flowers. But the prairie is looking beautiful. Many of the fall asters are now out. Three Mile Drive was recently repaved, and it's really beautiful. So driving or walking, a great time to see the Arboretum. So, yeah, you can go to the Apple House as well as the Arboretum now.
I was out visiting Julie a couple of weeks ago and made that 3 mile drive plus. And you're right. What a great drive. It
yes,
is for those
beautiful.
That maybe are unable to walk or something. It's just perfect. So, yeah, get to the Arboretum. A quick drive right out to west on Highway 5 and 41, and you're almost there.
You still need, especially on the weekends, you need reservations, but easy to get. Several hundred people can come in every half hour. But, yeah, wonderful resource.
Check it out online. Let's see. Texter says, my vegetable garden soil is very heavy. What can I add to the soil to help it drain? And do I do this in the fall or spring?
You can implement the soil either time, fall or spring. And with heavy clay soils, the best thing to add is organic matter like compost. It's pretty difficult to really put sand in there, so I wouldn't recommend sand. But compost or organic matter, those are the best choices for changing it.
This listener, Mary, says, I have two hanging diplodinia plants that are still beautiful. Can I keep them over the winter?
You can. They won't tolerate any cold conditions. They're really, diplodinias are tropicals. So a bright sunny window, yes, you can bring them indoors. They don't need a dormant period. You can keep them growing in some really good sunlight.
You know what? I remember doing the show last year at this time, and we had just tons of questions about dormant seeding. Maybe it's still a little too early, but it's today's the last day of August. when and who knows? Some people are predicting another dry, warm winter. When is the best time to do some dormant seeding? And for those that don't know, what is that?
Yeah, dormant seeding is really putting down seed when it's not going to grow. The seed will remain dormant. So that is really when cold conditions have permanently set in. And that's usually after the 1st of November for us. And because we had such an open, mild winter, we could do that pretty much all winter long this past year. Right now is prime time for non-dormant seeding, you know, to seed your lawn and get it green and growing. So if you want to repair your lawn, this is perfect timing, usually August 15th to September 15th. Sometimes we can go a little bit later because our falls have been so mild, but normal seeding for grass, perfect timing now. If you don't get it done in this window, then dormant seeding has been very successful, and that's into November when you start that.
Our listeners are always so smart, and I am looking at one that just came in. I had mentioned that a listener had stopped me on my way home from the fair asking about trimming.
Oh, that hibiscus.
And that was my mistake. I meant a tree hydrangea, not a hibiscus. A big difference. Yeah, so what about that? It was a 7-foot tall hydrangea tree. What about trimming? What's the what's the procedure?
Yeah, so hydrangea, and maybe depending on the kind of hibiscus, that's a summer bloomer. And so those usually bloom on new wood, so wood that comes out in the summertime. So pruning there is a little bit more difficult. But I would say that the early spring is the time to do that.
Okay.
And really, you know, we get into the fall and we're not really comfortable. I'm not comfortable pruning a lot of things in the fall because of our pruning stimulates growth and we get the winter coming up. Many times the spring is a better time.
That was my mistake. A hydrangea, not a hibiscus.
You know, I feel better about that, Danny, because I'm thinking, boy, this hibiscus, that is really not so hardy here, but maybe they're similar. They both start with H. Right.
I really should take better notes, I guess. All right. When is a good time, listener wants to know, to remove the suckers at the bottom of my pagoda dogwood?
Removing suckers. You could do that right now because those suckers really are a problem, and you can have a hedge all of a sudden growing where you want a tree. So I would take those off ideally in the spring, but you could do it right now.
Okay. Texter says, good morning. I planted a small seedling red bud in a pot all summer. The U of M extension says it's okay to plant the whole pot and tree in the ground for winter and then replant the tree in the spring where you want the tree to grow. Does that sound right?
Well, if you know where you want it to grow, I would plant it right now. I would take it out of the pot and plant it. You can keep it in the pot and sink that pot in the ground if you don't have any other place to put it for the winter. But I would just go ahead and plant it. If you know where ideally you want to get it going as soon as you can and get it out of the pot, because a red bud, I planted a red bud a few years ago, and it is huge now. It has really grown quickly with the water that we've had, especially this summer. So I would say plant it now if you can. Take it out of the pot.
Take it out of the pot. Mary, we are out of time, and I thank you for your time today. It's always fun to have you on the radio. And I know we'll come up again here in the next couple of weeks or so.
Oh, Denny, always a pleasure to talk gardening. Thank you.
So get to the Apple House, get to the Arboretum, and get on that website, extension.umn.edu. Mary, thanks again.
My pleasure, Denny.
Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Going to be a beautiful weekend if you're heading to the State Fair. Going to be about 85 today, 73 tomorrow, 74 on Monday. You're in luck there as far as a nice, comfortable State Fair weather. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis next hour from Lindis Construction. We'll field those questions either by phone or text as usual. Hope you're enjoying this holiday weekend here. Stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Yes, indeed. Good morning. I am joined this morning from the University of Minnesota. Mary Meyer is back with us. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny. Oh, my gosh. Is it really Labor Day weekend? Wow.
Yes, it is. And a beautiful one weather-wise. Wow.
Super for gardening.
Yes, absolutely. And going to the State Fair, too, for a lot of folks. Perfect weather,
yes.
Especially after today. Now, we're getting already, as of early this morning, and you're no stranger to a busy Smart Garden hour, I know. But we had, I think, especially early, we started getting text messages probably in the 5, 6 o'clock hour. for our show today.
Early gardeners.
Yes. Well, I think gardeners, probably not to make it a stereotype, but they probably are early risers, right?
Yeah. Work when it's cool. That's right.
If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'll try to grab as many as we can today, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. And before we get too far away, someone stopped me as I was heading back from the State Fair last week. Let's see if I can remember all of this now. They said to ask you when we start the show about a hibiscus tree. Now, it's not a shrub. It's a tree. They said about, as I recall, around 7 feet at its highest. I have heard, they said, she said, that not to trim it yet, not to prune it until late winter, early spring. What happens if I do it now is basically her question.
Well, I'm guessing this is the hibiscus that people grow in containers and bring in the wintertime.
No, this was in the yard. This is
tree. it's in her yard? Oh, okay. Then if it's in her yard, there are a few of those. They're not as common for Minnesotans to have those. If it's in her yard, if she prunes it now, she's probably going to just cut off the flower buds. So the best thing is to prune it after it flowers. So okay. I would be hesitant to prune it at this time, but if she is okay with sacrificing the flowers, she could do it now.
Oh, okay. Very good. Now, if I can find her to give her that answer. I hope she's
listening.
Maybe
she's listening.
I hope so. I think she is. Good morning. This texter says a couple of questions. First one is, my neighbor wants to start a garden, and I was going to help him if it's okay if we do a raised bed on top of the lawn and just put soil and compost in there. Will that grass eventually decompose? That's one question. Maybe you can answer that.
Yes, it will. You can definitely do that. And if you have issues with what type of soil you have or difficulty, the raised beds, yes, that's a great way to go. And eventually the grass will decompose. Yes.
Let's see, another question. Is it too late to fertilize my tomatoes and peppers one more time this season? I usually do it every 2 weeks.
Well, it depends on the condition of your peppers and tomatoes. My peppers are going strong, looking good. So, yes, you could fertilize those. But my tomatoes, on the other hand, are about done. As long as there's new green growth and they're still actively growing, you can continue to fertilize. But my tomatoes have almost all of the tomatoes I have picked already. And the foliage this year was a great year for tomato diseases. So my tomatoes are declining. So fertilizer is not going to bring them back. But if they're in good shape, go ahead and fertilize.
Speaking of tomatoes, Mary, I was looking out collecting some of my Sweet 100s, and some are really good, but some, again, I've seen this year after year, these little tomatoes have cracks in them, splits.
Yes.
What's that?
Well, a lot of times that is very quick growing, and especially if we have a lot of moisture. So these days when we've had excessive rainfalls, that tendency to grow quickly with the small tomatoes and crack is common with a lot of water. There are certain varieties that don't crack, just trying different ones. I have the yellow one, Sunsweet, that doesn't crack as much. And there's another one that is really sweet. I'm trying to remember the name of it. They tend to have a tougher skin. So some people don't like that little tougher skin, but the skin then usually doesn't crack. But excessive water usually
very good
culprit.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones, Mary. Carol is first up. You're calling from Minnetonka, I believe. Good morning, Carol. What is your question for Mary?
Well, I have such a strange occurrence, and I know it's been such a weird year weather-wise for plants, being so much rain in the beginning, but I have lilacs blooming. And I'm not sure if why, except last fall in October, I had the hedge that's about 30 years old, professionally one-third cleaned out and whatnot. But I had a few blooms this spring, but most of the summer after the rains and then the sun came out, it burned a lot of the leaves off. And so the growth that I have right now is at the top of these that are, you know, at least probably 8-9 feet tall. And they're little reams, but it's across the top under the eaves of the house and then slightly out from that where there isn't anything covering it. But it's a first for me.
Yes, Carol. So we've seen this re-blooming with some of our spring-flowering shrubs. It's really related to environmental conditions and how much energy the plant has, and then some environmental cues that will just trigger the bloom. So our spring-blooming lilacs, they set their buds in July. And normally, those buds just sit there, the flower buds, and then after a cold treatment, the winter time, then they flower. And normally those buds just sit there, the flower buds, and then after a cold treatment, the winter time, then they flower in this following spring. But sometimes those July buds will just bang, go ahead and bloom like you're seeing right now. So the flower bud on that particular stem, when it has bloomed in the fall, that's it. It's not, that stem is not going to bloom again next spring. But usually it's just part of the shrub. So the rest of the shrub, you'll see some flowers again next spring. If anything, it indicates the plant is growing well. But we have seen a lot of stress with lilacs the past couple of years, as you say, with the weird weather, but the erratic weather with really dry, really wet conditions. So I think your plant will still be fine.
Yeah, Mary, today is no exception. Over the last few shows, a lot of comments about lilacs and those that very
yes.
thing. So, I want to alert Ron in St. Paul. You'll be next after the break on the phone, and we have more text messages. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. You can either call it in or text it in, whichever is easier. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we move to 64 degrees. We're going to hit a high today if you're heading to the fair near 85. Tomorrow and Monday, really comfortable at the fair. High tomorrow, 73. The high in the Twin Cities, Monday, Labor Day, 74. Again, right now, 64 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M. Mary, a couple of questions about the state fair, but we promised Ron at St. Paul he'd be first up here after the break. Ron, thanks for waiting. Ron, what is your question, please?
You bet. Thanks. What would be the latest that I could plant a evergreen shrub on the west side of a house? What would be the latest this season?
Well, if it's a container plant, you have a little bit more leeway because there is a stronger root system, usually in a container system. But we like to have a month for the plant to grow and establish before really cold weather sets in. So we kind of back up from that. So through September and maybe through mid-October. So I would say the latest would be about September 15th. So maybe a little later if we have a really warm fall. But between now and September 15th, I would try. The sooner the better, but try to get it done before mid-September.
Well, here we are, Mary, last 3 days of the State Fair. A couple of questions about the fair and what's going on there. One is the Hort Society is out there. What kind of work do they do there?
Yeah, so the Horticulture Society, oh my gosh, Denny, here we are talking about WCCO's anniversary of 100 years. The Horticulture Society is 158 years old. Woo! Wow. So Minnesota has one of the earliest horticulture societies. This, of course, was these early apple breeders that helped start the state fair. So yeah, so the Horticulture Society has been around for a long time. They did a great job landscaping around the horticulture building at the fair, and they have one wing in the fair. Many people know the Horticulture Society for Northern Gardener magazine, great magazine about growing plants in cold climates. And the other work the Hort Society does today is community gardens. You know, we had that call about the raised bed.
Yes.
Well, yeah, the Hort Society helps communities with raised beds, and they have almost 1,000 garden in a box, which are raised bed kits that they give out to community gardens every year. So they are a great source of education, the magazine, community gardens, and get some landscaping tips walking around the Horticulture Ag Building at the fair. Check out the Horticulture Society if you're out at the fair in the next 2 or 3 days.
Oh, excellent. 158?
158
My
years old.
Goodness.
The first apple breeders said, you know, the East Coast said, you can't grow apples in Minnesota. And yes, we can. We can, certainly can.
I guess. All right, let's take another phone call. There's another Mary out there calling from Lake Elmo this morning. Hi, Mary. What is your question for Mary?
Oh, great. Thank you. We have a Japanese lilac at our cabin in northern Minnesota there, and we've neglected to really pay any attention to it, and now it's huge. And a lot of the taller branches are really thick. And so how do we approach, you know, trimming it down, and when is the best time?
So the best time to prune the lilacs are right after they flower in the springtime. And you can take out some, if you're talking about it being very thick, you can take out some stems down at the base of the plant at ground level, and then other stems you could prune back the top of it. So if you just take off the top of it, that's going to make it thicker than ever from where you made those cuts. But if you take off some at the bottom, some at the top as well, that's a good way to do it. But the best timing is just after it flowers.
Mary, a texter says this morning, a crabapple tree has lost most of its leaves. What to do about it?
This is probably due to apple scab, which is a common disease of regular apples and also crab apples. So it's not fatal. I've never seen a tree totally die from apple scab, but in wet years like we've had this year, apple scab is very bad. So cleaning up the foliage under the tree, getting that out of there and away from the tree is helpful. If this bothers you and you don't like the looks of it, you can plant a different crab apple. So there are disease-resistant ones, many crab apples that do not get apple scab, and we have a list of those on the Extension website. You can easily find that, but this would be buying something like Donald Wyman is the name of a crab apple, or Adirondack, different shapes, different tree shapes, and different flower colors, but there are resistant ones.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We always like to mention the Extension website. It's just a huge amount of information. Great reading. Extension.umn.edu. If you haven't checked it out, please do so. You'll be returning to that site quite
right.
often. A lawn question this morning, Mary. When should I put on my last application of fertilizer for the winter? They live in Anoka County.
In Anoka, yes. So we have a great lawn care calendar up on the Extension website, Denny, that you just talked about. But I think about fertilizing the lawn now is a good time. Labor Day is one of the prime times you can fertilize your lawn. We know that fall fertilization is that's our number one time to fertilize. So through the month of September, maybe early October, that's good timing. I would say now within the next month is a good time to do it.
You're mentioning what's at the state fair, and the listener wants to know, is there an Extension booth at the fair?
Oh, yeah. Well, the master gardeners are out there in force. And there again, they're in the Horticulture Ag building. And there are several master gardeners that can answer any gardening questions that you have. There's also several other aspects of Extension that are in the Ag and the Hort building as well. So the Extension part of it, I think, is between 4-H and the Ag Hort building is there. But then there's also another U of M building where you can find lots of other things and the research folks as well.
Very good. Mary, hang on. We're going to be taking a break and having a look at that forecast. Looks mighty fine, especially if you're heading to the State Fair. We'll get to that in a moment or two. Then we'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden Show. So stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here in the 8 o'clock hour every Saturday. Thanks to folks like Mary Meyer from the U of M. Mary is with us this morning answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Mary, lots of calls, lots of text messages. And I wanted to ask you, too, we talk about Apple. Is the Apple House is open, isn't it?
It's open, yes.
Bravo.
You can go to the Arboretum's Apple House on the west side of town. It's open from 9 to 6 every day. And guess what? The early apples are in. Zestar, First Kiss, Sweet Tango, Paula Red. So there's lots of apples to choose from. A great thing. Boy, fresh apples taste so good, don't they?
I love those Sweet Tango. I'm going to go out there this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, let's grab a phone call or two here, if we might. Linda is the first up, calling from St. Louis Park. Thanks for waiting, Linda. What is your question?
Well, I lost my old pussy willow tree during the storms. I cut off branches, and they're sprouting. I'd like to pot them up, carry them over winter until I can decide and have the time to try and replant them. Because they lose their leaves and go dormant in the winter, I don't know what to do with the potted sprouts over the winter.
So if this was me, Linda, I would actually plant them in the ground now, even though you might transplant them next year. I think they will just do better in the ground outside than they would in a pot, unless you've got the ideal conditions. And, you know, the temperature where you would have to keep them would be cold, but not sub-zero. So that kind of is a challenge. And pussy willows are, like, you have been able to root them easily. They root fairly easily. And my issue with pussy willows have been the deer or rabbits eating them off when they're actually small. So you might want to put some protection around them, like chicken wire or something, when you plant them. But I think if at all possible, I would plant them outside now.
Very good. Mary, a listener wants to know, about 2 years ago, they had a basswood tree removed. The stump was ground out at least 6 to 8 inches, maybe more. The area receives full sun. Would I be able to successfully plant native grasses and or flowers there?
Yes, right. Yeah, you should be able to. The basswood tree, some of the roots are down there still in the soil. They will decompose naturally, but that should not be any problem for growing perennials like and some of our native grasses there. That should be fine.
Good, great. Back to the phones. John calling from Baldwin, Wisconsin this morning, I believe. Thank you, John. What is your question, John?
Yes, I've got a black walnut tree that's got a fair amount of nuts on it, and I'm thinking about planting them in the ground to, you know, grow up more trees. Is there any particular way I should do it to take care of it?
Not especially. You just want to mark the area. You know, the squirrels love black walnuts, so if anything, they will dig them up. They will find them. But I would just say to mark the area so you know, and plant more than what you think you'll need, because not all the seeds will have viability. They won't, you know, won't germinate on their own, and the squirrels could dig them up. So you, if you do have a lot of squirrels, you might put a protective covering over the ground, like chicken wire or something that will the squirrels won't be able to dig into. But black walnuts need the cold treatment, the winter that will come naturally, and then yes, many of them germinate on their own, but that should work well. Yep.
We'll get back to the text screen, but let's grab one more call. Liz is calling this morning from Minneapolis this morning. Hi, Liz, what's your question?
Hi, good morning. I have another lilac tree question, Bush. It's mine is 25 years old, and this year the leaves are curling up and turning black, and the seed pods are turning black, and it's throughout the whole tree. Is this from the rain or what?
Yes, I think, Liz, it is the weather conditions that have been so extreme. We have seen more diseases on lilacs the past few years than I have most of my life before, prior to this. And we usually think of lilacs as being so tough. Many times they can survive these. They are not fatal, but they can certainly weaken the tree. The best thing you could do is clean up around the area, remove any of the foliage that is dropped, any of the black diseased foliage. If you have any half-dead or dead branches, you can do some pruning to take out whatever is dead on the tree. But major pruning should be done after flowering early in the springtime. But just good sanitation. If the plants are really thick and crowded, sometimes thinning them out and improving the air circulation will help as well. But hopefully the weather conditions will more favor lilacs in the future.
One more question about lilacs. I'm looking at the text messages. Can you move them? And if so, when is the best time?
Yeah, the springtime is really the best time. But if, you know, lilacs are really quite tough. If you can get quite a bit of the root system, if they're not a huge plant, which many times they are huge plants, it's really hard to move a big plant. You can do it right now. We have another 6-8 weeks of root growth for plants, so you could try moving it now. But the springtime is a better guarantee of success because it has all summer to grow those new roots.
Okay. When can you transplant raspberry new and older shoots?
There again, that's better done in the springtime. You could try it in the fall. Some of those shoots with raspberries, they're small. So if you can get a good root system, keep them well watered, they can be successfully done right now. But the spring is a better risk.
Very good. A lot of text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help out. Another text says, good morning. I want to remove the orange daylilies from my yard. Will digging them up do the job? And if possible, I prefer to avoid using chemicals.
Yeah, digging them up is really a good start. You could get, I would say you might get 80-90% of them just by digging them up. But and then you'll see a few will remain, but then you can dig them up as well. But that, yeah, digging them, I think, is better. If you want to remove them, digging them, sometimes cutting them off, just using a lawnmower or whatever to keep repeatedly cutting them off, that will certainly weaken them. But digging them is a quicker way.
Okay. Lawn question, is there a reason why crabgrass growth this summer has spread in most areas? What may have caused this?
Oh, the great rains that we have had has allowed the crabgrass seed to germinate. And then, well, if it didn't germinate the first week or so, it could germinate later again and again. So just the great moisture conditions we've had has helped crabgrass. But, you know, it's helped our lawns as well. So most people could have turned off their irrigation totally this year and had free irrigation this summer for lawns.
Well, I thought about that, too. Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't know if glyphosate is no longer sold, but a texter says, now that glyphosate is no longer sold, what's a good alternative? Is that true? Is that no longer on the market? I didn't know.
I think it's still on the market. There are a lot of areas, well, that are not selling it, and you read more and more negative recommendations about it. I still use glyphosate for certain things. I use it to kill poison ivy and Canada thistle. Those are two really problematic plants that I would just as soon not have at all. But I think you can still buy glyphosate. This is Roundup, which kills everything that it touches. Right.
Well, very good. Would it benefit, Texter says, to fertilize now to help my perennials through the winter? I have phlox, potentilla, and hydrangeas.
You know, not necessarily. I would say that really, if you're worried about do your plants need fertilizer, I would get a soil test and determine that. Because, you know, we have a lot of soils in Minnesota that are high in phosphorus. Potassium is maybe. Usually what they're missing is nitrogen. And with all the rain, we have had a nitrogen deficiency with a lot of our plants this year. But I would do a soil test before I would indiscriminately put on fertilizer.
You know, we haven't talked about that for a while. I've been thinking about doing it here. What's the process of getting my soil tested?
Yes, that soil test can be done at the U. We have a great website telling you how to collect your soil, and then you send it into the U, or you can take it over to the University of the St. Paul campus. I think it's just around $20 to get the soil test. And in the spring, there's usually a wait, but this time of year, there's really no waiting to get your soil tested. So, yeah, it's a great thing to do. You can determine, the soil test will tell you the pH of the soil, how alkaline or sweet or sour, sometimes people say, that the pH will make nutrients available. You can also get the organic matter percentage in your soil, and then the main nutrients, you can see those levels. So it's a great idea if you haven't done that.
Yeah, a lot of good information. Hang on, Mary, if you would please. We'll take this quick break. Be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour on CCO Radio. Danny Longley here with Mary Meyer from the U of M. You know, Mary, we were talking about not only the fair, but the Apple House. What a great time of year to get to the Arboretum.
Oh, yes, Denny. It certainly is. The annual garden at the Arboretum is so beautiful now with all those big, bright colors. Where the tulips are in the springtime, the annuals are just super with big sunflowers, cannas, yellow, orange. It's always a beautiful spot. And this time of year, I see a lot of people with the seniors getting their pictures taken out there. Lots of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, use the Arboretum with all the flowers. But the prairie is looking beautiful. Many of the fall asters are now out. Three Mile Drive was recently repaved, and it's really beautiful. So driving or walking, a great time to see the Arboretum. So, yeah, you can go to the Apple House as well as the Arboretum now.
I was out visiting Julie a couple of weeks ago and made that 3 mile drive plus. And you're right, what a great drive. It
yes,
is for those
beautiful.
That maybe are unable to walk or something. It's just perfect. So, yeah, get to the Arboretum. A quick drive right out to west on Highway 5 and 41, and you're almost there.
You still need, especially on the weekends, you need reservations, but easy to get. Several hundred people can come in every half hour. But, yeah, wonderful resource.
Check it out online. Let's see. Texter says, my vegetable garden soil is very heavy. What can I add to the soil to help it drain? And do I do this in the fall or spring?
You can implement the soil either time, fall or spring. And with heavy clay soils, the best thing to add is organic matter like compost. It's pretty difficult to really put sand in there, so I wouldn't recommend sand. But compost or organic matter, those are the best choices for changing it.
This listener, Mary, says, I have two hanging dipladenia plants that are still beautiful. Can I keep them over the winter?
You can. They won't tolerate any cold conditions. They're really, dipladenias are tropicals. So a bright, sunny window, yes, you can bring them indoors. They don't need a dormant period. You can keep them growing in some really good sunlight.
You know what? I remember doing the show last year at this time, and we had just tons of questions about dormant seeding. Maybe it's still a little too early, but today's the last day of August. And who knows? Some people are predicting another dry, warm winter. When is the best time to do some dormant seeding? And for those that don't know, what is that?
Yeah, dormant seeding is really putting down seed when it's not going to grow. The seed will remain dormant. So that is really when cold conditions have permanently set in. And that's usually after the 1st of November for us. And because we had such an open, mild winter, we could do that pretty much all winter long this past year. Right now is prime time for non-dormant seeding, you know, to seed your lawn and get it green and growing. So if you want to repair your lawn, this is perfect timing, usually August 15th to September 15th. Sometimes we can go a little bit later because our falls have been so mild, but normal seeding for grass, perfect timing now. If you don't get it done in this window, then dormant seeding has been very successful, and that's into November when you start that.
Our listeners are always so smart, and I am looking at one that just came in. I had mentioned that a listener had stopped me on my way home from the fair asking about trimming.
Oh, that hibiscus.
And that was my mistake. I meant a tree hydrangea, not a hibiscus. A big difference. Yeah, so what about that? It was a 7-foot tall hydrangea tree. What about trimming? What's the what's the procedure?
Yeah, so hydrangea, and maybe depending on the kind of hibiscus, that's a summer bloomer. And so those usually bloom on new wood, so wood that comes out in the summertime. So pruning there is a little bit more difficult. But I would say that the early spring is the time to do that.
Okay.
And really, you know, we get into the fall and we're not really comfortable. I'm not comfortable pruning a lot of things in the fall because of our pruning stimulates growth and we got the winter coming up.
That's
so
right.
Many times the spring is a better time.
That was my mistake. Hydrangea, not hibiscus.
You know, I feel better about that, Danny, because I'm thinking, boy, this hibiscus, that is really not so hardy here, but maybe they're similar. They both start with H, right?
I really should take better notes, I guess. All right. When is a good time, listener wants to know, to remove the suckers at the bottom of my pagoda dogwood?
Removing suckers. You could do that right now because those suckers really are a problem, and you can have a hedge all of a sudden growing where you want a tree. So I would take those off, ideally in the spring, but you could do it right now.
Okay. Texter says, good morning. I planted a small seedling redbud in a pot all summer. The U of M extension says it's okay to plant the whole pot and tree in the ground for winter and then replant the tree in the spring where you want the tree to grow. Does that sound right?
Well, if you know where you want it to grow, I would plant it right now. I would take it out of the pot and plant it. You can keep it in the pot and sink that pot in the ground if you don't have any other place to put it for the winter. But I would just go ahead and plant it. If you know where ideally you want to get it going as soon as you can and get it out of the pot, because a redbud, I planted a redbud a few years ago, and it is huge now. It has really grown quickly with the water that we've had, especially this summer. So I would say plant it now if you can. Take it out of the pot.
Take it out of the pot. Mary, we are out of time, and I thank you for your time today. It's always fun to have you on the radio. And we'll come up again here in the next couple of weeks or so.
Oh, Danny, always a pleasure to talk gardening. Thank you.
So get to the Apple House, get to the Arboretum, and get on that website, extension.umn.edu. Mary, thanks again.
My pleasure, Danny.
Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Going to be a beautiful weekend if you're heading to the State Fair. Going to be about 85 today, 73 tomorrow, 74 on Monday. You're in luck there as far as a nice, comfortable State Fair weather. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis next hour from Lindis Construction. We'll field those questions either by phone or text as usual. Hope you're enjoying this holiday weekend here. Stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO.